I really like the picture behind me. One of the reasons I like it is I picked it out and I helped put it up. But I love that picture. It just, it says things to me. I was sitting here this morning before everybody else got here. It was real quiet and I was looking at the picture there. I'm glad the lights finally came on. But it's so peaceful to me. And we're going to talk about creation some today. And, you know, somebody painted that picture. But God created that picture. In the Scouts, we go a lot of places. And some of the places we go, we see waterfalls like that. But nobody painted them except God. And I just like to look at that picture and I think about God and creation and His magnificence. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Probably one of the best known passages in the Scripture, even by those who may not proclaim to be Christians, is John 3:16. We've seen it on TV where people have put it on their helmets or on their foreheads or stuff in football games, and people hold signs up in the stadium. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want us to talk about that verse today, and I want to break it down a little bit. It says, for God. So who is God? In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. But what's a spirit? I have no idea what a spirit is. Okay? It used to be that say instead of spirit, it would be the Holy Ghost. Well, when I think of ghost, I think of some of these movies I see, and you got a ghost in them. Well, that's not God. I don't think God is a He, although we reference Him as a He in the Scriptures, or do I think that God is a she? Some of the new translations want to play with that a little bit. God is simply God. He's a spirit. He's something that I truly do not understand. I read a book called Joshua. Actually, I've read it about four times. I love that book. So I bought a few of them the other day so I could give them out. It says, how can one describe God in a few words? Joshua said, almost bewildered over the uselessness of the question, if you want to understand God, you have the full expression of the Father in Jesus. He is the living expression of the Father's love, unbegotten from endless time and born into this world in time to manifest God's love for all His creation. And Joshua in the book is actually Jesus. Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And so he's answering the question. He says, if you want to know God, if you want to understand God, then you look to Jesus. Jesus was, of course, God in the flesh. And if you looked at His life, as it's portrayed in the Gospels, then you can see God. You can see God's love. You can see God's creation. You can see God's power. Those were all manifested in Jesus. I can know God through creation. Romans 1:19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. That's Paul speaking in the book of Romans. And he's saying, if you want to know God, if you want to know about God, then you simply have to look at creation. So what can I know about God? God is the creator. John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word's Jesus there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Gospel of John is a beautiful book. I guess out of all of the Gospels, I like the Gospel of John the most. I think John had a special relationship with Jesus, and I think he saw Jesus maybe in a way that possibly the other apostles didn't see him. When John wrote the book of the Gospel of John, his whole preface started with what we just got through reading. He wants to prove that Jesus, who came to earth, was in fact God in the flesh. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." We know that there were three people present at creation: God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We're talking about knowing about God. I may not understand God fully or what a spirit is, but I can look at creation, as we have read in Romans and in Genesis, and find out things about God. God created the universe. You ever thought about the universe, the vastness of the universe? We only see a portion of the universe, okay? I have gone out to Boxville, which is the Boy Scout base on the lake, out of Gallatin, and laid in the field and looked up at the stars. Now, you can see a lot more stars out there because you don't have the light of the city around. I mean, they're just numerous. You can't count the stars that you can see up there. And I'm only seeing a fraction of the universe. The universe goes on and on. You know, we see with our telescopes a galaxy. There are other galaxies out there that we can't even see. I mean, the universe, wow, it's just really something. And God created the universe. God created light. It talks about His creating light in Genesis. Without light, we would not have life. So we have to have light. He created light. God created the earth. Now think about that. God created the earth. That means He created the atmosphere around the earth. We have a perfect atmosphere. Now, sometimes it gets really cold, and sometimes it gets really hot, and I don't like either one of those. I'd like for it to stay about 75 degrees all the time. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But God created Earth for us to live on. We have oxygen that we breathe. Without oxygen, we couldn't live. And we talk about, I was listening to him talk about going to Mars in a few years. I don't know if they'll ever do that, but there's some people that want to go to Mars, okay? And it takes a long time to go to Mars. And they want to establish, I don't know, they want to live there, okay, on Mars. Well, they're going to have to contend with a lot of things on Mars. Dust, for one. I never thought about that. Dust. Okay, they said the dust is really bad on Mars, okay? And the gravity is different. So God created Earth. We've got everything just right. The gravity, the oxygen, and all the elements that we have in Earth. God created the oceans, the rivers, and the lakes. Again, we can create lakes. All we do is dam up water. I live right across the street from one, Ohickory Lake. Okay? I like to look at the lake. You know, I like to be on the lake. I've been working on my boat all week. I'm getting ready to go fishing. I like water. I like the lake. I had an aunt used to go with me fishing all the time. She's since has died, but we'd go out there and go fishing, and she'd say, "I don't care if I catch any fish or not. I just want to be on the lake." David and I have been out on the lake together fishing, and I'm not sure we fished as much as we talk, but anyway, we have a good time out there. But God created the oceans, and he set boundaries for them, okay? They're only going to go so far. And man, there's a lot of water out there, a lot of ocean, and the rivers and the lakes that we have. Have you ever thought if the sun was a little closer, just a little closer, we'd burn up. And if it was a little farther away, we'd freeze. That doesn't happen. God took care of that. God created it just right. We don't burn up. We don't freeze. God created the animals, including the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the insects. The animals. And we look around, especially those that live close to Old Hickory Lake. I see geese all the time. They're in my side yard. We've got a huge yard to the side of us. And they just come in there and they feed in the morning and all. And then deer are everywhere in Hendersonville. You better be careful how you're driving in Hendersonville. But I look in the field back there and there are deer, okay? And birds. I see birds all over the lake. God created all of those things. Beautiful. And he created them for us. Not so sure about the insects. Some of those I don't much care for, but there's a reason for the insects. And God created man. Just think about man and how we're created. The complexity of man. Your eyes and your ears, you know, and your organs and how they work together. Your hand, I mean, just think about that, man. I just move my fingers and there's nothing to it. Wow, there had to be a creator in order to do that, to come up with man as we are physically and how it works together. And he talks about that in the scriptures also. But man's different. He's different from the animals. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. No animal can reason as man can or communicate like man. I don't think we look like God. That's not what he's talking about. But he gave us the ability to do certain things, you know, to reason, to communicate as we do. In that instance, we are like God. God created all things which work in harmony. Everything works together, okay? Yes, he created the universe, and he created earth, and he created the animals, and he created the water and light and all that stuff, and it all works together in uniform. There's got to be a creator. My wife, we like to go to Destin. My wife loves to go to Destin. And there's no telling how many times we've been to Destin, but she stands on the beach and she says, I don't know how anybody can stand on the beach at Destin and look out at the ocean and all and not believe that there's a creator. There has got to be a creator. God has certain attributes. God is love and without sin. It said, for God so loved the world. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. God loves us. God wants the best for us. Now we have to allow him to do certain things in our lives. We want to pull back a lot of times. Okay, we don't want to give ourselves over totally to God. That's what we really should be doing. He has only the best, or wants only the best for us. God is powerful. We've talked about creation and all the things that he has done, showing his power. God is everywhere. I have a hard time grasping that one. God is everywhere. The scriptures tell us where we meet together that God is with us. But God is everywhere. God knows everything, past, present, and future. I have a hard time getting my mind around that one too. So I just have to take on faith that that's true. God is holy and demands holiness of us in our personal and private lives. He demands holiness. He wants us to be holy. That's something that we must strive for. For God so loved the world. Why did God love the world? Did you ever think about that? We've talked about God. It said He loved the world. Why did He love the world? Well, number one, He created it. Okay? He created the world. I guess for His pleasure. Okay? God wants to have a relationship with us. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning a little bit. God wants to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have a relationship with God? Okay? He wants the relationship. He's reached out to us, but we have to reach back to Him for that relationship. In order to do that, I think that there are several things that we have to do. We have to talk to God. That's what prayer is all about. It's talking to God. Find a time when it's quiet and peaceful and nobody's around. And I think I've told them in Sunday night class, a lot of times my wife goes to bed at 10 or 10:30. I stay up. I turn off the television. I read scripture. I read books about scripture, and I pray. It's my time with the Lord. So if we want that relationship with God, we have to reach out. We have to get in the Word. Have to read the Word, but we have to do more than read it. We need to be studying the Word, okay? We need to get in depth into the Word and what it really means. We have classes on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I know a lot of our young adults are downstairs teaching, and that's just absolutely great. But if you're not teaching, then as far as I'm concerned, you need to be in a Bible study, okay? Because that gets you closer to God. I'll tell you a story. It's a true one. Now, we're talking about why God loved the world. My wife loves the Atlanta Braves. I go to bed some nights. In the summer when the Atlanta Braves are on, my wife will sit up until the game's over. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock. She's going to watch the Atlanta Braves, and she loves to go to see the Atlanta Braves. So I think we've been about 4 times. And I got a sister-in-law that loves the Atlanta Braves. So they both watch the Atlanta Braves, and they talk about it on the phone and all this. So my wife, she wanted to go to the Atlanta Braves, to see the Atlanta Braves, and my sister-in-law wanted to go with us, and so my sister-in-law made all the plans. Now, if I had gotten a hotel, I would have got one right off the interstate coming into Atlanta. If you want to get to the Atlanta Stadium, you can go down the interstate and get off and be right at the stadium. Well, for some reason, my sister-in-law got a hotel in the middle of Atlanta. That's not a good idea. Not if you're going to see the Atlanta Braves. Nope. Number one, they got so many one-way streets up there, we like to never find the hotel. We did find it, and this was before I had a GPS. I'm not sure they even had GPSs back then. But anyway, next morning we'd get up early and, excuse me, head off to the Braves. But we're not going to interstate, we're going city streets. And we got lost. I mean, we really got lost. We got down in a section of town you would not want to be in. Okay, and we're wandering around, I don't know where it is. And I pulled up, there was what looked like an old filling station with some men sitting out in front of that filling station. And so I didn't know where it was. So I pulled up and stopped, and I motioned for them to come over. And one of them came over to the window, and I said, "We're trying to get to the Atlanta Braves, and I'm lost." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you how to get there for $3. I'd have paid him $20. I paid him the $3. I wasn't that far from the park, but I was lost. So, what's the moral of the story? I was lost. That's the moral of the story. The world is lost, and many don't even know it. Matthew 9:37 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few.'" Now, in previous sermons, I've talked about this. There are a lot of people out there who are lost. They need somebody to help them find their way. I look around, and I see a lot of people, and I say to myself, they're lost, or they're not going to make it to heaven, and, you know, am I concerned about that? Who are the lost people? It might be the person you work with. Okay? Very possibly the person you work with. It might be the person that lives next door to you. It might be that person you play golf with. They may be somebody in your family. I'm working with one of my nieces now. And my mother told me, day before yesterday, I was over at Mother's and sat down, and she said, "I got something to tell you." She was really excited. And she said, my niece had called her up, wants to go see Mother this afternoon, Sunday afternoon. But she said, "Would it be okay if I came from church?" Now that's exciting to us because she hasn't been going to church. And she's got a son. And I've talked to her about it. And she's right in my family, okay? So maybe the person that's lost is in your family. Do you want them lost? Are you doing anything about it? That's the next question. Do you care that they are lost? And if so, what are you doing about it? You know, it seems to me, and I've heard other people say the same thing, but we sit in our churches and we say, "Come on in." But we don't step out the door and go to them and say, "Come in." And I've told this story many times. I'm going to tell it again. I used to be in charge of the sign out here, and we changed the sign quite often. I put on that sign one time, "Sinners welcomed." One of the ladies went berserk because I put that on the sign. Well, isn't that right? Isn't that who we're trying to get? That we're trying to help go to heaven? The lost. They made me take it off the sign. I took it off, but I still like the sign. And I'd put it up there again. But we seem to... Now, not this congregation, okay? We've got the Reach Ministry. That is a fabulous ministry where we go out and bring the young people in. I wish we could also go out and bring the parents in. That's a harder one, okay? It's harder to get the parents. Those that work in Reach will tell you that real quick. The young people, we bring the young people in. I'm so proud of these over here. I really am. They have leadership qualities. They will be the leaders, I hope, of this church one of these days. Okay, and they'll bring their families here. But we need to be going out and getting them. God cares. In 2 Peter 2:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He wants everybody. But he's not going to go out there and grab them and bring them in. They have to make that choice. But we have to go out there and motivate them to make that choice. That's our responsibility. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. God had a plan. And that plan was Jesus. It's that simple. The plan was Jesus. He would send his son to die on a cross and be raised from the dead so that we might have forgiveness of our sins and a hope of eternal life with God in heaven. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In order to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins, we must believe that God sent his son to earth as a man and that Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day. Some may say you are leaving out baptism. That's not true. If you believe that Jesus died for you, you will do all that the scriptures require, including repentance, confession, and baptism. There are eight stories of conversions in the book of Acts. And every one of those includes baptism. I'm sure most of the people here are baptized members of the Lord's body. If you're not, I certainly hope that you will think about that. We're going to give you an opportunity to come forward in a minute and be baptized. If you have problems that you need prayer for, I've often said, if you don't tell me what's going on in your life, I can't pray for you. Okay? I have to know what's going on in order to pray for you. If you've got a problem, bring it to us. Let us know about it so we can pray for it. So the invitation is given as together we stand and sing.
I need the every most gracious Lord, no temptation like thine can be. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need I see.